Good morning. Turn, if you would, this morning, since we are continuing in our study in the book of Revelation. Haddon, you got a Bible? Good. Turn to Isaiah chapter 47, where you would expect to start as we continue in Revelation chapter 18. Look at Isaiah chapter 47. Prescott will help you find it. In Isaiah 47, we have a very interesting passage to us, considering the fact that we're looking at the destruction of Babylon in Revelation. Isaiah 47, written 700 years before the Lord Jesus came to earth, and we will read these things. And we're going to read through this chapter and also Revelation 18, so we've got a little extra reading this morning. Before we read it, let's just ask the Lord to help us as we go through this important passage of Scripture. Father, give us guidance, give us understanding this morning, we pray. You are the one who has written these things by the hand of your servants. Therefore, O Lord, we look to you to make them clear to us. Help us to grasp the things you would have us understand. Father, we who long to serve you, to do your will and your bidding, looking at these things that are prophesied to come, we believe they will. Father, may we act on that belief, knowing that there are many, many yet who are bound for an eternal punishment, eternal hell, and may we interrupt them, Father. May we give them the gospel. May we see many saved to escape the wrath to come. We pray these things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Isaiah chapter 47. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal, and cover thy locks. Make bare the leg, and cover the thigh. Pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Sit thou silent, and get thee into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called the Lady of Kingdoms. I was wroth with my people. I have polluted mine inheritance, and given them into thine hand. Thou didst show them no mercy. Upon the ancient hast thou very heavily laid thy yoke. And thou saidst, I shall be a lady forever. So that thou didst not lay these things to thy heart, neither didst remember the latter end of it. Therefore hear now this, thou that art given to pleasures, that dwells carelessly, that says in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come to thee moment in one day, the loss of children and widowhood. It shall come upon thee in their perfection for the multitude of thy sorceries, for the great abundance of thine enchantments. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it has perverted thee, and thou hast said in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. Therefore shall evil come upon thee. Thou shalt not know from whence it rises, and mischief shall fall upon thee. Thou shalt not be able to put it off. And desolation which shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou shalt not know. Stand now with thine enchantments, with the multitude of thy sorceries, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. If so be, thou shalt be able to profit. If so be, thou mayest prevail. Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor fire to sit before it. Thus shalt they be unto thee with whom thou hast labored. Even thy merchants from thy youth, they shall wander every one to his quarter. None shall save thee. keep that in mind. That may be the first time you've read Isaiah 47, but it won't be the last time you hear many of the same things. Revelation chapter 18. Revelation chapter 18. And after these things, beginning reading in verse 1, I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, has become the habitation of devils, the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Keep that in mind. God has remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled her double. How much she has glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine. And she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. The Lord God who judges her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication with and live deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her. For no man buys their merchandise anymore. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all thyine wood and all manner vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beast and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and the souls of men. And the fruit thy soul lusteth after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, and weeping and wailing and saying, Alas, alas, that great city! It was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in one hour so great riches has come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company in ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in one hour is she made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy angels, apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. The voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. No craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. I don't know about you. That's some heavy reading. And much to be marveled at. We heard last week, or last time, about John marveling at religious Babylon, ecclesiastical Babylon, if you want to say that. And the angel said, don't wonder, don't marvel. This is what it is. And he explained it to him. And now we come to the full and complete destruction of the political world system headed by the beast, the Antichrist. God's pronouncement of judgment. Verse 1 says, after these things. After these things. Of course, speaking of chapter 17, the destruction of ecclesiastical Babylon. The world religion has met its end. All worship now goes to the Antichrist. His world system doesn't need the facade of false religion anymore, as men willingly follow their satanic leader. Here's something to get a hold of, even if this is heavy reading and hard to understand. All false worship is man-centered. You get that? All false worship is man-centered. Anything that isn't focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, on God the Father and God the Son, led by the Holy Spirit within us, anything that's not that is a man-centered religion. How can you say that? Some people worship idols. Yes, they do. What is an idol but something made by men's hands? You know? Said, I'll take some of this wood and build me a fire, cook my food. The other part I'll bow down to and worship. That was the idol in the old days. The idol today, what are idols today? Well, man, I want pleasure. I want preeminence. I want prosperity. Whatever those things are that people worship and devote themselves to are idols. And they're man-centered. God is out of the picture. As this tribulation period comes to a close, the veneer of religion is stripped away, and it shows that the false religious system was man worship all along. Now, this is not something novel or new. We see it every day. We see it all around us. We see people that say, "I, you got to get what you can get," and we can see the things that really drive them, that really are where their devotion is. It's the difference between worshiping God and worshiping man, worshiping self. And it goes back to Satan, doesn't it? Lucifer said, I will. I will be like the Most High. Where do men get it but from them being rebels as well? This angel that speaks, this one who lights the earth with his glory, that's an interesting thing that it mentions here in verse 1. It's as if this darkness that has been over the world is being enlightened, relieved, a new day dawning. He cries mightily, verse 2, with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, has become the habitation of devils or demons, the haunt, you might read, of every foul spirit, the haunt of every unclean and hateful bird, and a haunt for every unclean and detestable beast, the ESV would add in there. The idea is not that they're captured there, but that's where they hang out. That, of course it is. They are there to influence and direct this rebellious system. Now, we read of this as a city. Think about a city. What is a city? Well, it's a place of habitation. It's a place of commerce. It's a place of, of political power. It's a place where people have come together to exert themselves, to be somebody, to be something. When we read this here, think of a world system under the domination of the beast or of the Antichrist. And this system that rewards all those who worship it, who are devoted to it, who are devoted to it, they in turn receive financial reward. They in turn receive whatever it is their heart desires. Whatever satisfies their avarice, whatever satisfies their lust, whatever satisfies their... Everything goes. And we read this indictment in verse 3. For all nations have drunk the wine of the wrath or the passion of her sexual immorality. The immoralness of it. The kings of the earth have committed immorality with her. The merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies or her sensuality or her luxurious living, we see. It says the nations are intoxicated with this world system. This is what has taken their mind. They've gladly yielded itself to the power of the beast and his world system. The kings of the earth who are enamored with it and crave its pleasures. The merchants' greed for gain finds Babylon a willing trade partner, regardless of the commodity. There's luxury and license for any and all of men's desires. We might say tolerance for every craving, since man is paramount. There's only one thing that's absolutely detested and will not be tolerated, and that's the follower of Christ. Those that have repented of their sin and cast their hope upon the lovely Lord Jesus, seeking to be obedient to Him alone, are unaccepted in this realm. And we see the foreshadowing of this today. We see antagonism toward the name of Christ today more than I've ever seen it in my life. Now, maybe it's always been there. Maybe they're just more bold. But honestly, I think it is just growing and growing and growing. We still are very insulated in not only this country, but even in this region of the country. I was just reading yesterday of villages of Christians in an African country that have been wiped out because they proclaim the name of Christ. Don't think that it can't happen. Don't think that it can't happen. And in fact, in the days of tribulation, those that follow Christ, it will happen regularly. It will cost you your life to be a follower of Jesus Christ in that day. How do I know there's some there? I mean, could there be believers that are in the world in that time? Well, there's a different appeal. Not the mighty shout of the angel, but another voice from heaven in verse 4. It says, come out of her, my people. Don't be a partaker of her sin. Don't be the recipient. Don't be on the receiving end of her plagues. Christians sometimes get caught up in the things of this world. They can be enamored too. We're called to be a separate people. Be ye holy, for I am holy. This might take your mind all the way to the other end of the Bible, to Genesis chapter 19. When the morning rose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife, thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. You're going to fall under the same judgment as Sodom if you don't separate yourself. Believers are to be separate from this world system. Be wise. Keep your eyes open. Don't be a partaker in her sins. Don't fall under her judgment. That call for those in the tribulation time is the same thing God desires of us now. Be separate from such. For her sins have reached unto heaven, verse 5 says, and God has remembered her iniquities. Genesis 18, the Lord is speaking to Abraham. He says, the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and their sin is very grievous. I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come to me. And if not, I'll know it. In Exodus, speaking to Moses from the burning bush, we read this, the children of Israel sighed because of the bondage and cried, and their cry came up to God because of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob. Jonah's message that he received, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. God is not dead. God is not sleeping. God is not even detached from his creation. He is intimately attentive. Sometimes we wonder, does God even know? Does God even care? I mean, there's millions, billions of people upon the earth. How can he know me? How does he care? He has evidenced his attention to pronounce wickedness throughout the pages of Scripture and has presented available salvation to all in this fallen world. Could he be more involved than to deliver up his Son for our sins? He who has given his Son, what would he withhold when he's given up heaven's best? God is intimately acquainted with the effects of sin and the wickedness of men. The instruction to the angel is reward her or pay her back, verse 6, even as she has paid, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she has filled, fill to her double. Listen, you'll like this. Why double? Exodus 22. If the theft be certainly found in his hand alive, whether it be ox or ass or sheep, he shall restore double. Exodus 22:7. If a man shall deliver unto his neighbor money or stuff to keep, and it be stolen out of the man's house, if the thief be found, let him pay double. Isaiah 42, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Jeremiah 16:18, and first I will recompense their iniquity and their sin double, because they've defiled my land, they have filled mine inheritance with the carcasses of their detestable and abominable things. The doubled punishment is consistent with God's work. Here's why. Ready? The man who stole a sheep restored two. You see, he has to come back and bring two sheep to repay the one that he stole. Those two sheep were witness that God's justice was accomplished. The judgment that falls on Babylon will be unmistakably God's justice being meted out, not a natural occurrence or calamity. Verse 7 says, how much she has glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much sorrow torment and sorrow give her, for she said in her heart, I sit as a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Of course, you remember, we've read that in Isaiah 47, verses 7 and 8, thou saidst, I shall be a lady, like a lady of kingdoms, forever. Verse 8 says, I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. What God had prophesied to physical, earthly Babylon in Isaiah 47 was not just for them then, but foreshadowed this world system that's after the pattern of Babylon that we have here in Revelation 18. And God's word is being fulfilled. It was fulfilled in that time and then in the future time. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, verse 8 says. She said, we saw in verse 9 of Isaiah 47, these two things shall come to thee in a moment, in one day. The loss of children and widowhood. She's going to be separated from everything and anything that she might have relied upon, that she had control of. In Isaiah 47, her sorceries, her abundance of her enchantments. And she said, God says, thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, no one sees me. None sees me. I am and none else beside me. That's what Babylon in Isaiah 47 said. That is the attitude of this world system in Revelation 18. But there's another verse from Thessalonians, as Paul writes about this coming day. He says, when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child. They shall not escape. And God's instruction, His warning from Proverbs 29 still stands true and is borne out here in Revelation 18. He that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. This judgment will fall in such a way that it will be known as God's work. Pharaoh's magicians warned him, right? As the plagues began, that they were the finger of God. Pharaoh's magicians knew. It's not your finger, Pharaoh. This is the finger of God. This is beyond anything we know. This is beyond any of our magic tricks. This is beyond any of our demonic power. This is God working. And God's judgment, when it falls on this world system, will be evidence that He did it. Knowing this, how will the nations, their leaders, and the merchants respond? Well, look at verse 9. The kings of the earth who have committed fornication, lived deliciously with her, shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. I don't see anything like repentance in here. Standing afar off for the fear of her torment, they're not there to save her, as we've read. Alas, alas, that great city, that mighty city, in one hour thy judgment, or is thy judgment come? Wait a minute. What is that? But an admission that Babylon hasn't fallen to some financial recession or some glitch in the prosperity that is going. They're saying, no, the kings of the earth, see, it's judgment. The world's leaders make this interesting assessment. Whose judgment? The God they've resisted and continue to reject. Men will amazingly go into a Christless eternity with their eyes wide open to the fact they don't want a righteous God to submit to, but rather have their way. Isn't that astounding? Isn't that astounding? These leaders of mankind in this day, they know it's a judgment of God. And all they can do is bewail the system that they will now be impoverished because of. Verse 11 says, the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no man buys her merchandise anymore. And look at their merchandise. Look at verse 12. It falls into different groups. There's gold and silver and precious stone and pearls. Okay. Then there's linens and purple and silk and scarlet. Those are the beautiful tapestries, beautiful clothings, special wood, all manner of vessels of ivory and precious wood and brass and iron and marble. Verse 13 talks about cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense. These things brought that are very precious to produce and brought from all parts of the world. Then there's wine and oil and fine flour and wheat, more basic items still necessary for life, beast and sheep and horses and chariots, and the cheapest commodity on the list is slaves and human lives. Look at it. It starts with gold and ends with men. Each, as it goes down, each group is something of less financial value. It sells for less. Till we get to the value this world system places on human life. Human bodies and human lives are mere commodities to be used in trade. Don't we see that today? How little value the current world system places on human life today, regardless of what people say, politicians say, whether it's destroying the born or encouraging destructive lifestyles or pitting armies against each other for profit, the human commodity is the cheapest of all to the merchant. How different from the God who so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Who puts value on human life? Only God. The fruits of thy soul lusted after are departed from thee. All things which are dainty and goodly are departed from thee. You'll find them no more at all, because God is wiping out this world system. It's not just crippled. It's done. The merchants of these things which were rich by her shall stand afar off for fear of her torment. See, there's none there to save. They can't. They're just in panic. They are weeping and wailing. And Isaiah 47:15 said, none shall save thee. They cry to that great city that was clothed, as we read the same of ecclesiastical Babylon in chapter 17, with fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold. She is no more. For in 1 hour, they say, so great riches is come to nothing. The kings bewail the destruction of Babylon. The merchants bewail the destruction of Babylon. And as many as trade by the sea, the shipmasters, all company of ships, sailors, they cry, what city is like this great city? Well, there ain't nothing like it now because it's gone. They cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing. And they testify as the others, in 1 hour, she's made desolate. That's the human response. Heaven has a response too. Heaven responds this way, rejoice. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. It's an irrevocable finality. The mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone in verse 21, cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. We went on a cruise. I'm always kind of amazed when you're on a cruise. It's on a great big boat. 4,000 people on this boat. I mean, they got to feed everybody. They got to make sure everybody's comfortable. I mean, it's a terrific enterprise to do this, and they do it week after week after week after week. It's incredibly impressive. And you think it's a big deal. So you get up on the deck and you look and there's water everywhere. And you think, well, we're just a stick floating on the water. And how deep would we go if it just quit working? This millstone would be at the bottom of the sea. And Babylon, like that millstone, will be found no more at all. Won't be any music. There won't be any manufacturing. There won't be any millstones heard anymore. The light of the candle won't shine anymore in thee, verse 23 says. There won't be any marriages. There won't be any bride and bridegroom. In other words, this city, so-called, is done. It's done. Because in her, verse 24 says, was found the blood of prophets and saints and all that were slain upon the earth. It seems to me that this world system is represented to us as a city because this city, this man-centered city, must go away. God has a city that we'll be introduced to shortly. And in that city, like the new heaven and earth, is one wherein dwelleth righteousness. And the God who has made himself known in his absolute judgment upon this world system at the end of the tribulation period will reveal himself and his glory in that new city. Three things, and we'll finish. Three things. I mentioned three things. Verse 5, God has remembered. Verse 8, God who judges. Verse 20, God has avenged. God remembers. Nothing escapes his purview. Babylon thought he didn't see. No one sees me, she said. Well, he sees. He sees you and me too. And knows our very heart of hearts. I'm reminded of Hagar's observation, thou God seest me, because God delivered her in her distress with her and her son Ishmael. Only those who have put their trust in his son, whose sins are forgiven because of Christ's willing sacrifice, have their sins put away from God's remembrance. God remembers. He says, for those who've taken his son as savior, their sins and iniquities, I will remember no more. Act of God, based on righteousness. It's not because he just happened to like you or like me because he loves his son. And if we're found in his son, our sins are done with, put away. Secondly, we read God judges. There's no one else qualified to judge. And all fall under condemnation without Christ. He that believeth not is condemned already, we read in John 3:18. And only one who's absolutely righteous can be an absolutely righteous judge. Abraham asked, when talking with God there about the situation of Sodom, he says, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" Yes, he will. The question is, will you be one whose judgment was borne by Jesus Christ on the cross? Or will you face the divine justice yourself? You hear this gospel message and turn away. You are like those men who in that day, eyes wide open, say, "I don't want God ruling over me. I don't want to submit my life to the claims of Christ." And finally, we read in verse 20, God has avenged you on her. All things will be made right. Sometimes we wonder, how is this going to all work out? How is it going to all happen? How is God satisfying the injustice that has been perpetrated against me or against believers in other parts of the world or whatever? Listen, we don't know the details of his plan, but we do know the outcome. All things will be made right in the end. The question is, will I be standing by his side? Will we be there, or will we face eternal judgment? Well, a lot to grasp, a lot to take in. A lot that is unknown, varying opinions, different ideas of how this all plays out, but it will. And in the end, God will be glorified. Let's pray. Father, we thank you now for a time to look at your word again. We pray that as we've read it, that you impress upon us the things you'd have us to see. Lord, it's incredibly somber. Incredibly just unpleasant to read and think about. Frightening, in fact. And yet, oh Father, these things must come to pass. Because man must be deposed. And your son must reign. We give you thanks for the lovely Lord Jesus and look forward to that day when all will own him as Lord. We pray this now in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.